With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Well, hello and welcome to this brand new edition of EvoStick Extra here on Audio Boom or iTunes Store or FCM Radio or Whitby Town Radio. What is EvoStick Extra? I hear you cry. Well, this is one of those little tiny podcasts that lasts about 45 minutes where we'll be reviewing last weekend's fixtures in the EvoStick NPL Premier Division and previewing this weekend's upcoming fixtures in the same EvoStick NPL Premier Division. Later on in the show, I'll be joined by the Mid-Cheshire Guardian's very own Andrew Simpson. But coming up now, here's me interviewing that James Hayes fella from the NPL Facebook group. Well, thank you for that delightful introduction there, Ben. But now it's time to review last weekend's fixtures, and there's only one place we can turn to, people. That's right. Everyone scream at home. James Hayes. Hello, James Hayes from the EvoStick NPL Facebook group. So, James, let's cover things off. Where are you?
I'm currently at the NPL group tower, sorting everything out for the awards.
You mean your house?
Yes.
Yeah, your house. Right, okay. Right, so, James, where should we start? Let's start with the awards. Where are we up to?
Right, so we've actually now started the annual hunt for the Supporters of Player of the Year award.
That's right.
Which obviously last year was won by Stephen Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And also won previously by Ryan Kendall.
Fix.
And
it was a fix. Sorry. I was just covering all angles just in case there were some supporters at home who said it was a fix. Sorry. Go on, I was just covering off because that's what people said last year, so. You know.
It was a really, really close one last year. It came down to the last few votes, so obviously I'm not going to argue.
So where do people go? What's the rigmarole? What are people meant to be doing this year to vote?
Right, okay. So I'll do the quick version because everything's on the Facebook page, facebook.com/groups/NPL, and on our Twitter page. So people are allowed to nominate up to 3 players. It can be any player in the NPL, or as long as they're not on short-term loan or on a youth loan. They're currently active in the league, and they've played an official league game and fully registered. You can nominate 3 players,
yes.
But you can only nominate 1 per club. And there's 3 ways you can do it. On the Facebook page, on Twitter, using the hashtag MPLSP15, or via email at MPLSpots15@hotmail.co.uk.
And are all these details available on the league website?
They will be very, very shortly. I think there's been a few.
Okay, so we're recording this on Thursday. Apparently, yeah. It's embargoed. We don't know when it's going to be unembargoed, but keep looking at the official website, evostickleague.co.uk, for all the rules, terms, and conditions.
That's correct.
See, you should have got me to do it. I could have done a nice little voice. It would have been great. Anyway, let's talk about Saturday's league results now. Let's start in alphabetical order. Frickley 1, Stourbridge 0. I'm going to suggest, James, that that's a surprise.
Very big surprise. And I think that is now Stourbridge completely out the playoff picture.
Wow. Take that, Stourbridge. You're gone. Right. Yeah.
I said it a couple of weeks ago. They needed to stop. They can't afford to lose games like that and not expect to be challenging. I think, as I say, it's a third loss out of 4 now. I think that's them now for the season. Hopefully, they've got the experience of the NPL beside them now. And hopefully, if they do stay in this league, if I'm not get transferred back to the Southern League next year, they'll be up there challenging.
With Stourbridge apparently dropping the ball, Grantham Town picks it up, runs with it, like they're playing rugby. They played Witton Albion at the weekend. It was going to be a tricky-looking match for Grantham, but Grantham won by 3-1 in front of 210 supporters. That's a big result as well for Grantham, isn't it?
Yeah, we're starting to see the teams start. Everyone's starting to drop away and settle themselves this season. So the next few weeks, especially as top five and six, they're all playing each other again in the next couple of weeks. So you're going to have that opportunity now for some of the small teams, as we mentioned last week, Grantham's, Hales all in potentially, pushing forward to getting them places.
And later on in the show, we'll be speaking to Andrew Simpson for all things about Witton Albion, of course. You mentioned Hales Owen. Hales Owen Town 2, Buxton 1. That was in front of an impressive crowd of 507 there. Buxton only got their goal in the 90th minute. So Hailzo in town,
90-minute goals.
Yeah, but Hailzo in town, well and truly in the mix. I'm going to suggest now.
Yeah, especially with Buxton as well. They're another team that just like to drop points at this moment in time after a fantastic start they've had. Speaking to some of the Buxton fans, because I've actually met Joycey now as well, believe it or not.
No, I believe you.
It's I think Buxton have now lost that momentum. They're struggling to pick it back up as well. What they had at the start of the season's completely gone. It's not this Buxton that we knew from the start of the year. Okay, no one predicted them to be up there at the start. But with the form they had, they could have absolutely changed the situations and become a playoff side. When we're saying about teams dropping out, Buxton could now be one of them that we could easily find themselves outside the top seven, top eight.
Last week we spoke about Kings in Town a bit, and in front of 532, they hosted Workington at the Walks on Saturday, and they got beat 2-1. Now, that, I think, to go to King's Lynn from Workington, that's an impressive victory, that, for Workington.
Yeah, obviously, I read the match report for this because it's one of them games you don't expect to see at this level. Obviously, getting me Berkey out on one of the longest games you can have at non-league level before you start looking at League 2, League 1. So, that was a good win for Workington, and they're really now are looking like a good, solid team.
A proper six-pointer on Saturday, this one. Matlock Town against Marine, and Matlock Town came out on top by 3-2. That is an official six-pointer, isn't it?
Yeah. I think with Marine with that one as well, they managed to keep themselves. Obviously, we'll come to the midweeks in a second.
Yes. Because we might as well cover that off now, because midweek there was another six-pointer involving Marine against Trafford, and I think that puts Trafford relegated. But it keeps Marine in there, doesn't it, in that four-way to stay
up.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting for Marine now. I know we keep saying it week in, week out, but they have really got a mountain. The win they got against Trafford has kept them up there. If they'd lost that was Marine finished as well. Trafford, they're 15 points behind. I can't really see them staying up any longer, especially without that strike force.
Skelmersdale United 0, Stamford 3. What the hell is going on?
It's anyone's league now. Like I say, this has invited Ilkeston to really get back into the game. They must have been laughing this weekend not playing. And looking at that result, because Skelmersdale had the best opportunity to capitalise.
Let's discuss midweek matches now. And there was a couple of midweeks. We mentioned Trafford against Marine. Congratulations to Marine. A hat-trick there for Thomas Pearce for Marine in that one. Also, Blyth Spartans 1, Frickley 1. Blyth really need to start winning matches, don't they, if they're going to make those games in hand matter. And FC United of Manchester 3, Barwell 1. 2 goals there from Thomas Greaves in front of 1,800 supporters. I think we've covered promotion, haven't we? Really?
Yeah.
It's anybody's. It's anybody's. Just to say as well, in the Dudeson midweek, we mentioned the quarter-final match between Ramsbottom and Harrogate Railway Athletic last week, and Ramsbottom United, true to league positions, went through 3-1. Thoughts on that?
Again, Ramsbottom, we were talking about would they continue the mentality that Jono had of going to win everything. It looks like they are doing, but now it's going to come at a cost of extra Thursday night games. So they've got to play a minimum of 2 games now on a Thursday night. So that's, if you're playing them back to back, that's 6 games in 14 days. Now, teams in the higher league complain about that, but you've obviously at lower league, it's a lot more situation because it's work. They're going to have to look for the players that can play week in, week out, potentially throw money at it if they want to go at the playoffs. If they're happy enough to stay mid-table and stay in the league, that's fine. Obviously, concentrate on the Dukes and then. But it depends on the attitude of the club. Obviously, there is money in the Dukes and available there. So it might be situations where they might drop out of the league and just concentrate and get into the final.
Right.
So
if that match has whet your appetite for the Dudeson, there's 2 more quarterfinal matches taking place this coming week. That's going to be taking place on Tuesday night. If you're in the Farsley area of the world, head down there for Farsley against Lancaster City in a good old-fashioned War of the Roses kind of affair. And if you're in the Ilkeston area, or Ilson, as some people like to call it, head down to the match on Tuesday night, because Ilkeston are hosting Spalding United. And I think Ilkeston against Spalding United could be a cracker. James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, thank you for joining us this week. Would you like to give a plug for the superb work that your Facebook group does?
Yeah, no worries. Facebook.com/groups/the NPL. and on Twitter at the MPL group. And commiserations to FC United. What an attempt that was.
Oh, God, I didn't even mention it, did I? Weird, that. Yeah, I didn't even mention it. It seems like, seriously, it was a good day out. Thanks for reminding me. It was a cracking day out. Torquay United, lovely club. And, yeah, it was just a nice day. We're robbed, but, you know, so it is.
Yeah.
But we've got nothing to be ashamed of. You never came out gutted. You never came out the ground gutted. It was an uplifting experience despite the defeat. It was a glorious defeat, is what it was, James. But thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, no, all I'm going to say is, if the replay had happened, FC, they would. Before what I was hearing, they would have gone through.
Just to remind people, and I'm going to say the same thing again in front of Andrew Simpson in a minute. FC United never been beaten at the Tameside Stadium, ever, other than that penalty shootout, which I'm not classing because it was rubbish.
Let's not talk about that one.
Yeah. Anyway, James Hayes, good luck with the launch of the awards, and we'll be seeing you next week. Thank you to James Hayes there, but enough about the past. It's now time to look to the future, and that can only mean one thing. That's to visit one of the two Andrew Simpsons who inhabit MPL world. That's right, there's a second one who's in Darlington, Andy. From the Mid-Cheshire Guardian range, it's sports reporter Andrew Simpson. Hello, Andy. You okay?
I'm well, are you? Can I just say that was a very strange experience listening to that the other week.
Wasn't it weird?
It was very weird. It's ruined the terrorist chant. There's only one Andrew Simpson. That's consigned to history. I think, in fact, there's lots. And two in them. This Northern Premier League ain't big enough for the both of us.
The weird thing was, I had to have about five email conversations with Dave Watters and Alan Alcock to say, no, I've not gone mad. His name is Andrew Simpson from Darlington. Anyway.
Nor had I moved house or anything like that.
Just to kick things off, the exciting news in Mid-Cheshire world, I'm imagining in recent weeks, has been the news from Northwich Victoria. What's been the reaction to the prospects of them coming back to the area next season?
Well, there's been a whole big melting pot of reaction, really. I think it depends which mast you nail your colours to. And obviously there's two green camps, if you like, over this way. And it was all as if it'd been scripted, because we had on Tuesday night, 1874, Norwich, who play in the North West Counties League. They played Witton Albion in a local cup competition, the first time the two teams had met. And we saw a gate of just under 500, which is, for that competition, I think is the biggest crowd they've had in that for more than 10 years in that competition. And we saw a glimpse of kind of a new rivalry potentially being born. It was a brilliant cup tie, had a little bit of everything. Witten in the end just squeezed home with an injury time winner. But into that mix now, obviously we've got Northwich Victoria coming back. I mean, I think nobody really knows how it's going to affect the dynamic, although I would say that the kind of the sheer numbers and volume of people that turned up to support 1874 on Tuesday was one of the most impressive things he took away from it. So they're now 2 years in, and obviously they're going into their third season next year, that they are an established non-league club. People have got into a new habit of going to watch them now. So I think that makes it a little bit more difficult to predict how things are going to change, or if indeed they'll change at all next year. That's still up in the air. We won't really know, I suppose, until Vic start playing games here. But like I say, one of the most striking things about the game on Tuesday was the sheer number of travelling support that had come to watch 1874. They are very much now established and have their own identity, and you wonder whether things are too set now for that to change much. I don't know, we'll have to see.
Now, listener at home, you might have been aware that Andrew balancing the thoughts of three different camps, and I think he did an excellent job.
Anyway. As if my job wasn't hard enough. But I'll put my violin away and let's just see what happens. But yeah, I think of a career in professional politics.
I think so.
Might beckon.
Or the Sunday supplement, one of the two. Anyway.
Indeed.
Right. So let's kick things off with the fixtures. We'll discuss Witten Albion towards the end of this session and their match at Barwell. We'll start things off alphabetically. Ashton United against Grantham Town. If we look at the league table now, it's looking Grantham Town have put themselves back in the mix.
They have a little bit. Obviously, they played Witten last week, beat them easily, I'm afraid, Albion fans. And Grantham don't seem to have been yet. They've had a little bit of managerial turmoil this season, and their initial managerial duo changed to become one. The one has now left, and that last Saturday was the first game under a new manager, but obviously he's got off to a good start. And I thought they'd fall away after the budget cut they had earlier in the season, and it's full credit to Wayne Halcrew, who has now just left, that he's kept them in contention to finish in the playoffs, despite that budget cut and despite obviously a little bit of upheaval off the field there. They are going to have to change history, though, this weekend, because they've never beaten Ashton in a Northern Premier League game.
Really?
Really. Okay. And also, to move it on to Ashton, Ashton are in brilliant form as well. And they have to thank Witten for that, because they got an absolute tonking at Witten back in November. And since then, have gone on this superb run of winning 7 of the 9 games since to get back into the top 5. And only your good selves at FC are in better form than Ashton at the moment. Only FC have picked up more points in the past 8 games. I make Ashton favourites, despite the league table suggesting that they're quite close. Like I say, history favours Ashton, and they're in great form. I think they'll carry that on Saturday.
One of the potential biggest games of the day, I'm going to suggest, is the next one, Buxton against Blythe. And Matt Joyce has been in touch to say the Bucks need to pick themselves up from last week's weak effort at Hales Owen. I bet Blythe are hoping that the game will be on. Well, I heard the sun has done its job last week, clearing the snow off the pitch. Just hope Jack Frost doesn't strike. Oh, it's getting all awfully terrible, this email, all of a sudden. As Blythe need to restart their league campaign, but he's hoping for a Bucks win. Just keep us in the playoffs. We're still in there. So yeah. The thing with Buxton is, and I've been saying this for ages, whenever I look at Buxton and their results, it always seems like they've lost or they're stumbling, but they're still fourth.
Yeah, they're just doing enough, aren't they? Mm. They came to Witten a couple of weeks ago, and it was 1-1. Witten thoroughly deserved their share of the points that day, and Buxton kind of fitted into that kind of slightly unconvincing feel that their results seem to have. Their performance was similarly unconvincing that day. But they are just doing enough. Blythe are showing signs of life, though, aren't they? They're now focused fully on the league after the FA Cup campaign. They're unbeaten in 4, although they have drawn 2 of those. So it's kind of slow but steady progress up the table. They've not won at Buxton in their past 2 visits. They've lost both times. Although Buxton's, it might be due to the weather and disruption of the pitch, Buxton's home record's a little bit dodgy. They've only won 2 of the past 7 at home. So there is encouragement there for Blythe this weekend as well.
A fixture next that I think from a Witten perspective might be of interest. FC United and Manchester against Marine. There's life in Marine.
Yeah, what a result for them on Tuesday. I mean, I was at the Witten game. I had one eye on what was going on at Trafford, but I'm sure both teams went into that note thinking it's a little bit of a last chance saloon and also a perfect chance to kickstart the season. And Marine were the ones that did that. And I think that's probably a terminal result for Trafford, who we'll come on to a little bit later. But Marine, it's only their second away win of the season, and they'd only won one of the previous 17 matches. So it's a real lifeline for them. But then the worst possible thing after coming off the back of this little kickstart is then to go and play FC United away, or obviously whichever way you cut the stats are the form team in the Premier Division at the moment. One of the best home teams in the Premier Division, only lost one of the past 13. So like I say, whichever way you cut the numbers, it's a massive ask for Marine to make it back-to-back wins.
And a frightening stat for the rest of the league, which we've been doing on FCM Radio, is we've never, ever lost, ever, at the Thameside Stadium.
Wow. So there you go. There's another thing to throw into the mix. So Marine fans making the trip might do so with a little bit of trepidation. I mean, FC has shown no hangover from losing at Torquay, because obviously had a good win against Barwell in midweek. So the other thing about FC that I found interesting is this kind of myth around the Northern Premier League that FC kind of start playing on the 1st of January, which this season isn't quite true. You've kind of been on a roll
November
from November. And so you've started this... Yes, it is this traditional March, but it has started a bit earlier this time, and you're absolutely flying at the moment.
A team certainly with title credentials is the next team, Ilkeston FC, and they're hosting Frickley Athletic on Saturday.
Yeah, Ilkeston, another one in really good form, unbeaten in 12 league games. They've stalled ever so slightly in drawing the past three, but obviously they're still managing, even with that slight dip in form, not to get beat. Frickley had a really good point at Blyden midweek. They scored a very late equaliser, which kind of defied the form they've shown on the road this season. Whilst Frickley are higher up the league than most people expected, which is something you touched on in the monthly podcast, they still are one of the worst away teams in the league. So I make Ilkeston favourites to win Saturday.
It's weird, isn't it? If you split the division up from 16th down, Frickley are one of the better sides in that bottom half of the table. But everyone above Frickley, I would suggest, has a slight outside chance of reaching the playoffs. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do actually. If you know, people like your Rushalls and people, if they can get on a roll, they may well be able to, you know, to sneak in there. I think, yeah, Frickley are looking over their shoulder. They're certainly not a team looking up, and like I say, they don't pick enough points up away from home to be thinking too far ahead of themselves. But after the years they've had most recently, when they've kind of, it's gone down to the wire, or they've had reprieves, they've got themselves in a reasonably good position so far. I don't think they're out of the woods yet, but they're in a decent position, and there will be a number of teams who would quite happily swap with them at the moment as well.
Now, well and truly in the mix for relegation is Nantwich Town, and they're hosting Kings Lynn Town, who, when we spoke to Gavin Caney a couple of weeks ago, could get promoted, could get relegated. Nantwich Town, though, they were stringing results together probably about the time we last spoke, and now it's all starting to get a bit twitchy again for them.
Yeah, you're right. I went and had a look back, and Nantwich came to Witten on Boxing Day, and they were absolutely hammered. They lost 3-0, and they were lucky to get nil. They were dreadful, and it started to feed a little bit terminal for Danny Johnson then, but from that game, they went on, and you're right, they won back-to-back games, and it felt like, oh, maybe, you know, they've stuck with him, maybe they've just turned a little corner. But since that little sequence of two wins, they've not won, and obviously it's ended with him leaving Nantwich. Phil Parkins is an interesting appointment, never managed at this level before, very little previous managerial experience. I actually know him from a very brief spell he had managing one of the Cheshire League clubs on our patch. But this is a huge step up from that. He's well known around the club, will be a popular appointment among the fans, but I just feel he's got it all on. I know they're not in the bottom four at the moment, but their form for some time has been poor. It'd be interesting to see whether a lot of the lads that Danny had brought in from Manchester stay now that Phil's taken charge. I really do fear for them.
I was going to say, Kings Lynn, they've only won two games away from home all season.
Yeah, you'd think, well, if I'm going to start my tenure, you know, Kings Lynn at home isn't a bad one, although they did get that monkey off the back, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago. They won at Marine to end that wait for an away win, which Gav was talking about just before that game, actually, at Marine. So is that the kickstart that Kings Lynn season needed to get on a roll now? I know they lost last week, but that was against Workington, who we'll come on to in a minute, another team that are absolutely flying.
So next up, Rushall Olympic against Curzon Ashton, and Swampy again on FC Live midweek made the statement that Curzon are not going to make the playoffs this year.
And the evidence backs him up, to be fair.
Oh, don't tell him that.
These are two of the most out-of-form teams in the league. It's a little bit like, well, do you want to win this or do you want to win this? Rushall, no winning four. Curzon have fallen out of the top playoff positions for the first time this season recently, and they've only won one of the past six. So they really need to kind of arrest that slide so that they don't fall out of touch with those above them. A little crumb of comfort for John Flanagan is, I was looking at the results earlier, and when they go to a team in the bottom half of the table, their away form against teams in the bottom half of the table is very good. Right. So they may see this as an opportunity to kind of get back on track again.
Skelmersdale United against Matlock Town, another one that I'm sure you'll be keeping your eye on.
Yeah, definitely. After going to Matlock a couple of weeks ago, they comprehensively outplayed Witten in what was only Mark Hume's second game in charge. But he seems to have, he certainly injected a bit of life into Matlock, because they beat Marine last week as well. So he's won two of the four games he's been in charge. So they've picked up. Skem, I mean, there's just a huge question mark against Skem at the moment. I mean, with the greatest of respect to Stamford, nobody really saw them going to Skem and winning 3-0 last week. Stamford had been really struggling to to pick up points before. That was a great win for them. Skem, there's no pattern at all. I looked at their form. It goes one loss, one loss, one loss.
A bit like Buxton, though, aren't they?
Very similar. They're just doing enough at the moment. But that probably won't be enough to see them over the line unless they kind of get a little bit more consistency. So they tend to do well against teams at the bottom end of the table at home. So they'll hopefully, you know, take some encouragement from that. But I think this fixture is a little bit more unpredictable than it would have been 2 weeks ago, which worries Witten followers, I'm sure.
I know Workington have games in hand. I know Ilkeston have games in hand. And I know Buxton have games in hand over Skelmersdale. But the striking one is FC United, who are 11 points behind with 8 games in hand over Skem at the top.
Yeah. The trick for FC is, this run did start earlier, so can they keep it going for long enough? The signs at the moment suggest that they can. The other thing in the mix at Skem, of course, was the chairman resigning and Tommy Lutton coming out and saying that, you know, the budget's been cut. Everyone has agreed to a pay cut and is sticking together for now. But you do wonder what the psychological impact of that may be. It's still, they've probably not played enough games yet since the chairman stepped down for us to see a pattern. But there's that in the mix as well. I mean, Tommy, in an interview he did with the Nottingham paper, seems to suggest he's going to use that to keep everybody together and kind of like, you know, we'll still do it in adversity. But
it goes to what we were saying on the monthly show. Would you rather have the points on the board? There is an argument to say, yes, we'd rather have the points on the board. But would you rather have the points on the board and have 5 teams breathing down your neck?
Exactly. They're kind of limping to the end of the season. I mean, they've only got 11 games left. Some people were saying, well, that's great. You know, they can really focus on games, not having any midweek games. But they need to kind of find a little bit more consistency to get over the line. And I wonder whether they're going to be able to manage that. I'm not sure they will.
Next up, we've got Stamford against Ramsbottom United. And Stampy's been in touch to say, please, oh, pretty please, a first home win at Borderville for Stamford, please.
Yeah, they've had 5 goes at it so far and not managed
Alan
it.
Alan Alcock said it, though, in August. He said, don't be too sure about a new stadium being a blessing this season because it takes time to bed in.
Yeah, and it's proving the case. I mean, Stamford's away form is the reason that they're not in serious trouble. They've got a couple of good wins in the past fortnight. Obviously, that one at Skem, and they also won at Belper before that. And that's given them a little bit of breathing space above the bottom four. Stamford came to Witten just before Christmas, and it was another game that Witten won easily. And I was watching Stamford that day and thinking, yeah, these definitely are another team that are going to get dragged into it. I still don't think they're safe, by the way, but that away form is allowing them to relax a little bit more than what they would be able to.
And Rami, obviously they're down there at the moment, but they've played less games than anyone in the league. They've only played 24.
Yeah, they've not played a league game since New Year's Day. Yeah. It's weird. John Robinson has been in charge for a few weeks now, and they are completely unpredictable. We don't know what form they're going to take. He's had a League Cup game against Vicks, which they won, which is a great win for them, by the way. But we have no idea, really, what kind of state Rami are in since the managerial change, because they've not played a league game. So I also think they're vulnerable, by the way. I think they could be dragged into the battle at the bottom. But it depends how they shape up with who Robbo's been able to bring in.
Now, we're going to discuss Trafford now. Stourbridge against Trafford on Saturday. Are we now putting them in a bucket with Belper Town?
Yeah, without question. I think too many factors have gone against them. They've lost key players, as well as have been in this dreadful run of form for some time. Now, they've won only one of the past 17 league games and have lost 13 of those. Where don't you want to be going when you're in that sort of shape? Stourbridge, who are one of the best home teams in the league, and their away form has cost them really a chance at a tilt at the playoffs, I think. It was there last month. They swatted Witten aside. They're very impressive. I can't see any other result than a convincing home win. The only thing that might count against Stourbridge is if they do what I've just done and look at the league table and think it's going to be a walkover. But I think sadly for Trafford, I think they are going to be turning one, if not both, eyes towards next season now.
And speaking of next season in a lower league, I can't word it like that, can I? Anyway, Whitby Town against Belper Town. Again, Belper Town. Mm.
Yeah, I think they're done. And last time I was on, Jimmy Albans, their new manager, who'd just come in, had done an interview where he'd said that he reckoned they needed to win 12 of their remaining 19 games at that point. They've played three times since then, lost them all. So if he still feels that, then he's, you know, 12 wins from 16, it just isn't going to happen. He's obviously got he's got his old pal from Grantham, Wayne Holcrow, has gone down to join him at Belford. I wonder now, I suspect they too are going to start looking at, right, you know, what shape are we going to be in for next season? Who do we want in? And start to plan for trying to get back up at the first attempt. I mean, going to Whitby doesn't help. Whitby no. Haven't lost a home game against a team in the table's bottom half this season. So they tend to put the weaker sides away at home.
Witton Albion against Barwell. And this is your time to shine, Andrew. So at this moment in time, there's probably four teams for two relegation spots, if you exclude the AGM lottery, which is bound to happen in the summer.
Yeah.
Where are Witton currently, do you think?
Witton, it's a little bit feast and famine with Witton. In December, they had their best month of the season, and we were all starting to talk about, you know, Sully had really turned it around. He put his stamp on the team, and they were really moving in the right direction. And they seemed to strengthen that by beating Marine on New Year's Day, and you thought, yeah, absolutely, win against direct rival. Off the back of beating Nantwich on Boxing Day, they're in great nick. And then January has been a real disappointment. I mean, they've suffered like everybody else in losing a couple of games to postponements, but they've won one of five league games in January and have lost three. So they've lost that momentum that they picked up in November and December. And the past two defeats against Matlock and Grantham last weekend have been really disappointing in terms of the performance, the manner of those defeats. So a little bit of a reality check and a little bit of a reminder that the job wasn't done. To be fair to Sully, after every game when they're on this winning run, he said to me, we're not done, the job's not done. And that's been borne out by the performances in recent weeks. Now, one massive thing that counts in Witten's favour, they've got 15 matches to play, 10 of which are at home. They've lost only one league game since October. They've nice. Really got their act together at Winchin Park. So if you are looking at, you know, how are we going to get out of trouble? You've got 10 of your last 15 games at home where you've started to really turn things around. It's becoming much more of a fortress than it was. Then very much they have it in their own hands now because of that. And lots of those games are the kind of cliched, who do you want to play at this time of the season? You wanted to play teams in the middle of the table with nothing to play for. A big bulk of those games are against teams like that. And with the greatest of respect to Barwell, I think they're one of them. And you know, Sully's looking at where he's going to get the points from. He's targeted seven wins between now and the end of the season. I have no question that kind of in pencil next to this game against Barwell, that's one of them that he'll want to kind of tick off this list of seven wins that he needs. Barwell, I mean, I'm going to probably say something that's never been said on this programme before. I'm quite looking forward to seeing Barwell on Saturday because when Witten went there earlier in the season, they were the single worst team I have seen on a given Saturday this season. They lost 2-0 to Witten that day. Witten played more than an hour with 10 men, and they could have won that match playing with seven. Barwell were that bad. To be fair to Barwell, they've kind of, obviously, that must have been a bad day at the office because they've gone on and had an half-decent season. Well, you saw them on Tuesday, so you might be better place than I to predict what I'm going to see Saturday. They're not travelling too well, lost four of the past five away from home, so that bodes well for Witten as well.
One of the midfielders we described as a bag of fun because he was very feister. Let's say feister. They've got a couple of feisty players, but effective players as well. So that game could go either way, I'm imagining.
It could. I make Witten favourites, but like the struggles they've had in the past couple of weeks have been against the, how can I put this, the kind of more ugly, in-your-face teams, yes, of which Barwell are. And so Sully needs to find a way to get something from those games, because Witten seem to have a little bit of a soft underbelly when it comes to getting roughed up a little bit. And that's what's going to happen Saturday. Barwell will come and do that to them, and they need to find a way to cope with that.
Workington, and this is the last fixture on Saturday, Workington are hosting Halesowe in town, and Guy Cooper's been in touch to say a surprising comfortable win for Halesowe over Buxton last week. The players and management were happy with a very professional performance, but irritated to lose a clean sheet with the last kick. Tough trip to Worko this week, but it'll provide a good benchmark as to whether or not we can push on to sneak into the playoffs. And that's the thing for Halesowe, isn't it? They've pretty much got to win every game now, haven't they?
Yeah, for me, this is match of the day Saturday. I think this is the outstanding fixture in the Premier Division for a number of reasons. Halesowe, you're quite right, they're in really good form. Unbeaten in seven, They've got this extraordinary record away from home this season where they've only conceded 12 goals in their 14 away games, which is fantastic. They've got themselves in a great position. They're ninth in the table, but they're within touching distance. The one thing that they'll be looking to do is to convert some of these draws into wins. They've drawn 12 games this season. So that's the challenge for them. And obviously going to, other than FC United, another of the outstanding form teams in the Premier Division. I think Workington deserve a lot of love for what they've achieved. I had a little look before at kind of how they pieced this run together and to finish on a nice stat today. In the middle of October, they went to Grantham and lost 1-0. It was a third successive defeat in a little run that they were on. And they slipped to 15th in the table. Since then, they've won 12 of 16 games and picked up 38 points from 48 available. So they've dropped only 10 points since the middle of October, which is absolutely extraordinary. And that's propelled them right up the table to second behind Skem. They've got themselves in a great position. And I think they face the same challenge as FC in that they've kind of spent so much to get themselves in contention. Have they got enough in the tank to get over the line? I think they have. I was really impressed in the games I've seen Workington this season. They are the best home team in the league, by the way. They've got more points at home than anybody else in the division. So that's the size of Hales Owen's task this weekend. And I'd love to see Workington get into the playoffs because I think that they seem to be one of these teams that have quietly gone about their business. They don't necessarily go around tonking people 4 and 5, but this incredible run that they've been on, I think Gav Skelton deserves enormous credit for the job he's done at Workington. So they come down, and that's always a difficult thing to kind of, you know, regroup, get things back together. And if he carries on like this, for me, a contender for manager of the year. I think that's how well they've done.
Well, you've jinxed it for him.
Sorry, Red.
Andrew Simpson, before you go, would you like to give a plug to your work where people can follow you and stuff?
Yeah, you can follow my ramblings at Simo on Sport, at Simo _on_sport. And I will be at Wincham Park this weekend to watch Barwell probably make me eat my words for telling everybody how ugly and horrible they are. But yeah, a really big game for Witten this weekend, so one to keep an eye on, definitely.
Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, thank you for joining us, and you have a good weekend.
Pleasure.
And now for your correspondence. Richard Clark has been in touch to say Stawa are at home to Trafford. Looking at the table, you'll say it's a must win. But you've also got to be wary of any manager with Graham Heathcote's experience. Yes, Richard. We played well for the last two games for no reward. Saturday is when it will come good. Here's hoping that you both win, Richard. Rob Lloyd has been in touch to say a big journey for us, the Yeltsmen, and women, of course, to Workington on Saturday, but we can go there with confidence. We've only had one defeat in 14 games. They've won their last 9 at home, I believe, so it'll be a really tough match. Would happily take 1 point back to the Black Country, though. James Edge has been in touch to say Michelover Sports are playing Spalding United, which is game of the day in Division 1 South. That's right, James, it is. Derek Buckley, who supports Witten Albion, has been in touch to say that Witten need 3 points from the visit of Barwell. Witten are playing better of late, especially at home, so hopefully the recent improvements will continue. But like all games at our level, it won't be easy. Phil Lindley's been in touch to say Matlock away at Skelmersdale, who seem to be drifting. Whether they're drifting enough for us to get anything out of this game, well, he doesn't actually say well, he just puts some question marks. I'm freestyling here. Ian Loomis has been in touch to say, or Ian Lummis, it is Lummis. Ian Lummis has been in touch to say, yes, he's been in touch to query what I said earlier. Well, I say what I said. I was just repeating what James Edge has said. James Edge, let me remind you, said Michelover Sports v Spalding United was the game of the day in Division 1 South. However, Ian Lummis has come back and said, I'm sure it is, James. Big spending game of the day, perhaps. That showed him, Ian. Nailed it. I think Leek versus Norton and Newcastle v Stafford goers might have something to say. Either way, it's a good day for those just outside to try and make up ground. Yes. Andrew Snaith from this parish, from Whitby Town Radio, has said, tend to play poorly against poor sides, do Whitby. I'll take any win for Whitby against bottom of the table, Belper Town. John Haig, a Blyth supporter, said, Blyth will be hoping for a game. Both sides need to get a win, so a painfully dull 0-0 will suit no one. But that's what will happen. Away Blythe. I don't think you can say away Blythe after you mentioned a dull 0-0 draw, John, but away anyway. Ryan James Bedard has been in touch to say, he's just merely said, Warrington needs to win at home to Farsley. Thanks for your correspondence, Ryan. And lastly, but not leastly, Lloyd Berry's been in touch to say, following our loss to Drolsden, we need to pick up the points fast, at home to Farsley. See, Ryan, that's an email there. That's correspondence. That's how you get in touch about your team. Ryan, next week, I want long sentences saying stuff. Thank you. And that, dear listener, concludes this week's Wall of Correspondence. Tune in next week for another wall filled with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. And, of course, thank you to you, dear listener, for all your correspondence that you sent in literally yesterday. Thank you. Well, that's the end of this week's Evo Stick Extra. Tune in next week to hear just how right or wrong or indifferent we actually were. Well, that's the end of this week's Evo Stick Extra. My thanks to this week's guests, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, and before that, James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. Remember before you set off this weekend that it is February, and that can only mean one thing, that Jack Frost is about. So please look at the website, evostickleague.co.uk, to make sure that your fixture is on before setting off on Saturday afternoon. Or if you're travelling from King's Lynn, Saturday morning. Remember you can follow this show on Twitter, that's at NPL Show. But from everyone here at Evo Stick Extra, I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you go this weekend to cheer on your NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.